Morning. Maybe I can start. Okay, let me just start by doing the counting of generators in SUN and SON. It's quite an important thing that it was in the question yesterday, but I want to be sure that everyone knows these kind of things. So let's consider, say, SUN. I want to count how many generators, so a matrix of SUN, it's something like the identity plus I theta A JA. Thetas are the parameters and JA are the generators. Of course, the inverse U minus 1 is U minus I theta A JA. To leading order, right? I'm just inverting. So it's just 1 minus I theta A JA. And now the SUN conditions. Are that U minus 1 is equal to U dagger. And that the determinant of U equal to 0. U minus 1 equal to U dagger implies, of course, if I dagger that expression, I flips to minus I, JA to JA dagger, and therefore it gives us that JA, that the generators are Hermitian. Determinant to leading order, determinant of a matrix which is 1 plus something small, is just a trace of that something small, as we saw the other time. So this implies that the generators are traceless. Okay? Determinant equal to 1, yeah. Ah, 1, of course. Okay? And now if we want to count how many matrices there are which are Hermitians and with zero trace, we can just think of the matrix. We have here the matrix U11, U22, etc. And the last element here is not free. The last element must be minus U11, minus U22, etc. Minus U, N minus 1, N minus 1, because the matrix must be traceless. Okay, so this one is not free. So there are only N minus 1 on the diagonal. Because u dagger is equal to u, these diagonal elements are real numbers. Okay? These diagonal elements are real because u dagger is equal to u. And then there is this full list here of entries. And this is completely generic. You just choose whatever you want. These are complex entries. And those, the other ones, you just find by the condition that it's emission. So those one here are just the complex conjugate of those above. Okay, and this automatically gives an emission matrix, right? So if I put here the complex conjugates, when I transpose, they come here, then I complex conjugate, and they become exactly this. So how many elements this triangle has? So the number of elements here is, we can consider all the elements of the matrix, which are n squared. We subtract the diagonal, n, this gives the two triangles, and we divide by 2. Okay? All elements minus diagonal, this gives the two triangles, and then we divide by 2 and we get one triangle. And because they are complex, let me underline in yellow, there is a factor of 2. So in total, the number of generators is equal to n minus 1, the ones in the diagonal, plus n squared minus n over 2 times 2. Okay? And this is, of course, n squared minus 1, which gives our known results. It gives, if you have SU2, it gives 3 for SU2. It gives 8 for SU3, as we saw, etc.
What about SU1?
Sorry?
What about SU1?
SU1 is the group of matrices which have only one element. The determinant of is 1, so the element must be 1. So there are no generators.
Zero.
Sorry? Because there are no generators. The group is not continuous. You are stuck. You must be at the element 1. You cannot move. And I just wrote it here. I chose to write these two in yellow just to illustrate that, of course, what would change. Can you write in this? Can you read it if I write in this color? Probably not. What would happen if we would consider, instead of SUN, SON? For SON, this condition here would change. It would be U minus 1 equal to U transpose. And what happens is that there would be no 2 here. It would be a 1 because the because they need to be real matrices. And there would be, therefore, no 2 here. Okay. Good. So this is what I wanted to do about just counting generators. Now, what I want to do next is, what I thought of doing next is telling you, can I erase? The generators here can be complex. These U's are complex matrices. SON, no. That's why I remove the 2.
The real.
Symmetric. That they are symmetric. Or and no, actually they should be.
If I remove
the I, they would be anti-symmetric. No, I'm a bit confused. It should be anti-symmetric. There might be some minus missing, but for the counting parameters, whatever it is, we know that there is a minus which I'm not seeing, but what I want to say is that for SON, the matrices are real, so we have exactly the same kind of logic, but we don't have to double because of being complex. Okay, so I thought of discussing now a bit of algebra manipulation of with Mathematica. How can we manipulate non-commutative objects with Mathematica. So, did everyone here study gamma matrices or encountered gamma matrices at some point when studying Dirac equation or... Okay. It doesn't matter much. So, what are gamma matrices? Gamma matrices, if you have gamma A, okay, they are some set of matrices where A runs from 1 to D, okay, with a property that the anticommutator of gamma A with gamma B, which is defined as gamma A, gamma B, plus gamma B, gamma A, the opposite of the commutator, is equal to twice the metric, which we can choose to be Euclidean in this case, delta AB. It could be R, eta AB, etc. They form this kind of algebra. Okay? And these are the matrices that appear when you study the analog of Schrödinger equation for fermions, for relativistic fermions. Okay? So, and this is a number of dimensions. This is an example. We have some algebra, and we might want to simplify, to simplify expressions such as, for example, you have something like this. Gamma D, gamma A, gamma C, gamma B, gamma D, gamma C, gamma A. And I might want to simplify something like this, where the repeated indexes means that there is some summation. Right? So let me give you a simpler example than this one. For example, if we have gamma A, gamma B, gamma A, then this, we can use the anticommutator to flip this A with this B. So this gives gamma A, right? And then this element, I can write it using that relation as twice delta AB minus gamma A, gamma B. Right? Now, delta AB with gamma A, I contract the indices and I guess twice gamma B only. Minus gamma A, gamma A, gamma B. Now, gamma A with gamma A, if I put here A with A, not summing over the indices first, what do I get? I get twice gamma A, no summation now, is equal to twice delta AA. Right? So, no summation. We have gamma, let me put even some different letter to indicate no summation. Gamma A is equal to delta AA. So with summation, we get that gamma A is equal to D, the dimension. I just count how many elements there are when I have a summation. So this here gives D, so I get 2 minus D times gamma B. Okay. Now, I chose this particular example because it illustrates most of the features that we want to understand in some algebra, but you can think of this exercise more generically as understanding how can we teach Mathematica to, on the one hand, contract indices, get rid of indices, and do these kind of manipulations that we did here, and how to teach Mathematica to deal with non-commutative objects like this, which don't commute, I cannot exchange their order, and how to apply rules for commuting these objects, etc. Yes?
That summation only gives D if you are working with a Euclidean metric.
Otherwise, I'm assuming that the indices are, some are up and some are down. Okay, and if some were down and some were down, it's still true that the contraction gives D. Okay? Well, is it clear for everyone? Yeah? If some are up and some are down, it's still true, right? That gamma, eta mu nu, this is D as well. Right? Okay. So if there was some, if it's not Euclidean, that one of the A's would be up, and this eta AB would become a delta AB. Okay? So the goal is to understand, and this I think is, should probably be completely new for all of you, or for most of you, how could we teach Mathematica to deal with this? So we need to teach Mathematica how to deal with these objects, delta AB, and how to deal with a non-commutative product with some rules which we must define. So what we will do is we will use the symbol which we can always use, this circle times, which we use to make to manipulate tensor products. We'll define that nice symbol, and we'll use that nice symbol to denote this non-commutative product, and we will teach Mathematica a couple of rules about this non-commutative product that we have here. Okay? But again, we can do it to manipulate algebra of some group, to work with harmonic oscillators, and to manipulate the creation and annihilation operator, Grassmannian parameters, the kind of things that I'm going to explain can trivially be generalized to many circumstances that you might find useful. Okay, and then with the remaining of the time, I will, in the rest of the time, I will choose one of the exercises that were proposed in the tutorial and try to do it. Okay. So you might find that what we are going to do today is slightly more advanced than what we did in the previous days. But okay, but that's normal. Okay. So first of all, we are going to use, as we said, this non-commutative product, which we will choose, for example, to denote with this symbol of circle times. So the first thing we do is we clear all circle times, to be sure, because we introduced it yesterday, so some of you might still have it in the kernel. And let's also clear delta, because we will use the symbol delta to denote the Kronecker symbol. Okay, so let's run this. Okay? So let's write an example of something that we will want to simplify. Before, let me remind you, let me write here that the shortcuts we are using are C star scape for circle times. Oops, what happened? Scape, C star scape. Scape. Bah. Okay. Scape, C star scape. We will also use scape, delta scape, scape, G scape. Okay, so these are the kind of shortcuts that we are using. And let's consider an example of something that we would like to simplify. The example could be gamma A, which is scape G scape, times gamma C, times gamma B, times gamma C. Well, this will be something we would like to simplify. Okay, can everyone see? So this is something that we might want to simplify. So let's run it, and here is the output. So it's, of course, Mathematica will never change the order of the letters, because it's, how does Mathematica see this function? If we ask full form of this, it's just circle times with couple of arguments. So she will never decide on her own to start changing the order of the arguments. This will be insane. And so we don't need to worry about this non-commutativity. Okay. Now we need to start teaching her some rules. Some rules, some replacement rules to simplify these expressions. So what we will do is the following. We will define a canonical order, and if we see matrices which are not in this canonical order, for example, here we see C and B, we will use the commutator rule to exchange B and C. Okay? So, but before I want to to introduce what might be the more subtle step, we want to set the attributes of the function delta, and I want delta to be orderless. This means that delta AB is delta BA. Okay? And I want to set the attributes of circle times to be flat and one identity. Okay. So let's explain what this means. So please run it and let's see what this means. Okay, so I'm defining, this is the same as saying attributes of delta equal orderless, attributes of circle times equal this. We used sometimes already attributes. So delta being orderless means that Mathematica will recognize, for the purpose of identifying patterns, delta AB in the same way as delta BA. So for example, let's run delta AB. Okay, here it is. And we can run delta BA, and Mathematica will still give delta AB. Okay? So this is what it means that it's orderless. I say AB, and it always gives the ordered arguments, the ordered set of arguments for this function delta. But now, something nice, because otherwise we would be worried when we would be doing replacements later. If I have something like delta AB, but I will tell Mathematica, if you see delta with B and A, okay, this is the symbol of replacement. Did everyone get this output? Delta AB and delta AB for both? Now suppose we say that here is delta AB. If you find delta BA replaced by R, and it does replace by R, even though it's delta AB which is there. Why? Because for pattern recognition, Mathematica knows that delta AB is the same as delta BA. Okay? So if you are going to teach Mathematica some rule, like if you find delta AB times gamma B, replace the index by A. We don't need to teach if you find delta AB or if you find delta BA, because Mathematica knows that the object is symmetric and you see that automatically identifies the patterns, even if they appear as delta AB. Of course, if we would use with some other function, FAB, where we replace FBA by R, she would not know. Right? So this is what orderless does. The ones for circle times, it's for the following. If you have circle times of A, comma, circle times of B, comma, C, this is flattened. Remember that flattened was removed per brackets. This, Mathematica knows that it's A wedge B wedge C. Okay? So it's basically associativity. Okay? So Mathematica knows that this can be thought as flat. She can flatten this expression. Okay? So again, this pattern, Mathematica would know if it was that this is just A times B times C. And this is what the attributes of the other one were doing. So, let me comment this. Okay. One identity is extremely subtle. I mean, I think they should remove it. It's basically that circle times with no arguments disappears. But it's really subtle and it gives lots of mistakes. They should remove it. Yeah. I hate one identity. So, but the rule of thumb is whenever you want to use flat, put one identity. If you want something associative, you should put one identity, otherwise you will start getting errors in the middle of the code. So think as one identity as being an appendix of flat. It must come together. Okay, so now that we thought Mathematica has two important properties, associativity in this sense of Flatten, of course, and orderless, we can move on to start defining the rules for our product. Okay? Can I go on? Yeah? Did everyone understand everything? Okay. So let me comment this one also, and let's go on. So let's define the first rule, rule one, which tells you that if you have gamma A, this is with some times gamma B, these are some variables, if you have gamma A times gamma B, you put some underscore to denote some variable, replace it. I'm using now for this replacement two dots and then bigger, and not, how is it called, dash and then bigger. I'm using this symbol here. Okay, it's replaced two. I will mention what's the difference between this one and the usual one. Twice delta AB minus gamma B circle times gamma A. Okay? And what does this replacement mean? This replacement means it's delayed. It's like delayed evaluation. Only evaluate this left, this right-hand side after knowing what A and B is. The advantage of the delayed evaluation is that it allows us to say replace only if something happens. And if we want to say replace only if something happens, what we do is at the end of the replacement, we put this symbol, slash semicolon. Okay? This is if something happened, and we are going to do if they are not ordered. So if not ordered, this is to check order queue. If A and B are not ordered. Okay. Yes?
How about with the arrow symbol?
The arrow symbol? Okay, good. It's this and this. Okay? And then it automatically converts to them. So let's check that it works. If we have gamma B, 3 star. With gamma A, this is what it is, and if we apply rule 1, it replaces by minus gamma A, gamma B, plus twice delta A. Okay? So again, about this delayed evaluation. This delayed evaluation is it evaluates only after knowing what A and B is, and I can tell her when to do this replacement, and here is what we did by this command. Doubts. Are there any questions about this? Is it clear? Yes.
What does that command at the end mean again?
This means that only do this replacement here if what is written after this symbol is true. So only if they are not ordered. So let's see what order of AB is. For Mathematica, this is well ordered. For Mathematica, this is not well ordered. So in this case, not of this would give true. So in this case, Mathematica would apply the rule. So, okay, so she would consider alphabetical order and check whether they are in the canonical order or not. Okay? And the second rule, which is very much related to this one, is, of course, that gamma A with gamma A gives delta AA. By the way, we don't need the brackets in the first one. It's I'm just giving one single rule. I'm giving rule 1 and rule 2. Okay. Yes?
The delayed evaluation, the slash semicolon, and the funky arrow.
This arrow here is delayed replacement.
And the slash semicolon?
The slash semicolon means only do this delayed evaluation if what is after this symbol is true. Okay? So we can also use this when defining functions. When we have, for example, f of x equal to 1, and then we say if x is slash in, okay, if x is an integer, x escape slash in escape integers. Otherwise, f of x equal to sine of x, for example. Okay? And now we have f of 3 would be 1, f of 3.3 would be sine of 3.3. So we delete stuff, we can put some conditions, if one if x is an integer.
Okay.
Yes?
This
sign belongs, okay. Scape slash in scape. It's like LaTeX. Whenever you have some LaTeX commands, you can just put it between scape and mathematical notes. I think. Let's see. Scape slash alpha scape. Yeah. Okay. So you know, LaTeX is just okay, and this is exactly the same thing. So it's important to know the difference between evaluation and delayed evaluation. If I have, for example, exponential of x minus x1 plus x, and I run this, this is what it is, right? And I want to say, if you find exponential of something, replace it by exponential of that something simplified. And it does nothing. Why? Because she evaluated this now. So f of a goes to f of simplify of a. What is simplify of a? It's a. So f of a goes to f of a. It does nothing. Right? Because what is f of simplify of a? It's f of a. But if I put delay, now she will only put whatever a is inside simplify after she knows what a is. And in this case, she will simplify. Okay? So this is the difference between delayed evaluation and usual evaluation. Okay? And only the delayed one we can use if we want to put some condition on whether it should happen or not. Okay? So I will comment this, but you can of course copy it and write it if you want. Can you still see when it's commented? Let me comment this. I'm leaving this stuff commented in because I can give you the notebook later and you might want to play with it. Okay. So we saw that this rule seemed to work. If I put here some, I can try also the gamma AA, applying the rule 2 in this case, and it gives delta AA. So we seem to be in a good, in the right track. Okay? Any question here? How was our example called? X. So now, tell me if I'm going too fast. Let me pick the example and apply to the example rule 1. And this is what I get when I apply to the example this rule 1. Now, this is not perfect. This is not perfect. So Mathematica found two. Let's remind ourselves what was the example. It was this. Indeed, this gamma C and gamma B are not ordered. So she used the rule to change this gamma C and gamma B. Okay? But now she doesn't know that this is linear. She doesn't know that circle times of A times B plus circle... She doesn't know that circle times of A with B plus C. She doesn't know that it is linear, that it's circle times of A times B plus circle times of A times C. Right? So we need to teach her that circle times is linear. That she can open these brackets and consider just the first and open this bracket. Right? So we want her to be able to separate these two terms to continue to simplify it every time, more and more. Okay? Yes? So to assign... now let me show you some useful syntax. Let's enter this and see what this does. We can say that we want to assign some property to some function g, which is the following. If you have some function g, and if you find f of g of something, you want to teach Mathematica that this is fg of x. Okay? We want to teach Mathematica, if you find f of g of something, F appears in black. Let's clear all F before. Okay, so we clear all F, and let's clear all G just to be sure that G is not in the memory. And now we are teaching Mathematica that when you find F of G of something replaced by FG of something. Okay? Now we run this, and you see that G became black, F is not black. So this is a property of the function G. And that's why I have this symbol. When I write this, I'm telling Mathematica, look, I'm telling you a property of the function g, not of the function f. You see? The way, if you would not put this symbol, she would think that this is a property of the function f. F of g of something is fg of something. But I'm telling Mathematica, no, this is a property of the function g. If g appears inside f, then this is the same as f times g. So this is not a property assigned to the function f, but assigned to the function g. Okay. So if we ask what is f, Mathematica says has nothing for f. What is g? G is the function with this funny property. And there is this symbol to denote. If f of g of something is fg of something. Okay? So f is nothing special and g now has a property attached to it. Okay? And now, let's see how it works. Let's consider three examples. Let's make a vector with three examples. For example, f of g of 2. Another one would be, for example, f of h of 2. H appears in black. Let's clear all h as well. H was defined, yes. It's better to quit the kernel, actually, before we start, but okay. Please clear all h as well. F of h of 2. Otherwise, you will be scared, because h of 2 will be the Hamiltonian of length 2 of yesterday, and it will appear here some 4x4 matrix. And then, let's do, for example, h of g of 2. Okay, and let's run this. Strange. Because I cleared all. So, okay, then we have to run the definition again. And you see what happens. So, clear all, but then run the definition again. F of g of 2 is replaced by fg 2, and nothing happens with the other ones. Because for the other ones, this pattern is not found. I have f of h, okay, it's not a g. I have h of g, this is a g, but it's not an f outside. So the only one where this pattern defined above is present is this one, f of g of 2. And indeed, it's the only one where Mathematica replaces by fg of 2. Okay? So this is how you teach Mathematica in a slightly more subtle way, how do you assign properties to G, which is not something like G of something is equal to something, but rather G appearing in this pattern is to be recognized in this way. Yeah? I can also define something to G. I can say that G of 5, for example, is 3. This is what you mean? Sorry?
Sure, I can.
G of x, like a function.
Since it's already black, still define it.
No, you can still define, you can define many things, right? For example, this example above, where was it? When we have this f, we defined f, and it was black, but we could define it more, right? We would have this, and we'll define, first teach Mathematica how to deal with f on the integers, then otherwise on some generic number. Right, and we'll define it twice, and the two definitions will hold. Yes?
How are you commenting stuff like that? You're highlighting stuff and doing something that's commenting and uncommenting at all, right?
It's parentheses and then star.
But are you doing some shortcut that's doing a whole block at the same time?
I just put it in the beginning, and then I put it in the end.
Oh, okay.
The end is here.
But yeah, some special trick thing.
Beginning here of the comments and then the comment here. No, we can define more than one property to a function. And what will happen is, for example, in this example, and now I ask what is f, and Mathematica has two properties for f. F of integers is 1. You see, she starts by the most particular one. And otherwise, it's sine of x. And when you ask what is f of something, she will start going through this list. And she will first find the first condition in case x is integer. Otherwise, she will go to the next one. and she will give you the first value that she finds on the list. And she generates this list by the most specific, from the more specific to the least specific. So you could assign more properties to G. For example, we will now assign many properties to circle times, not only one. Okay? So this was, of course, the motivation I was explaining that, let's comment all this using this nice trick. But, So again, let's see what failed in our example, slash rule. Let's copy it down. Let's copy this down here. This was the example, and this was how Mathematica simplified. And we see that we have some work to do about teaching him that it's linear, etc. So let's do it. So let's define properties of circle times. So we define circle times, and then we put this symbol. So here it comes, and this is done in Mathematica. Here comes the property of circle times. And now we teach her. A1, if you have something, plus A2, circle times A3, this is equal to A1, circle times A2, plus A2, circle times A3. Right? This is linear. Okay? This is a nice property. What other one do you imagine that we will want? Another obvious one. Even more obvious, more closer to this one. One which is almost the same as this one. From the other side. We also need to teach, just copy paste, that A3 with A1 plus A2 is A3 with A1, A3 with A2. Be careful when copy pasting, you need to change every argument properly.
Just one thing.
Uh-huh.
A1 plus A2 times A3 should be A1 times A3. A1 times A3 first.
Good, thank you. A1 times A3. Yes, good. Thank you. Yes, A1 times A3 plus A2 times A3. And A3 times A1 plus A3 times A3. So these are two rules that we need, of course, right? To teach that this product is linear. Let's see if we are. Let's run these two. And let's now copy again our example with our rule and see how it's doing now. A bit better, right? Now she separated this into two terms.
Here.
This one here, and this one here. Okay. Still not good enough. Now we should tell her that if she finds some number, for example this minus 1, she can take it out. If she finds this 2, she can take it out. If she finds something which is delta AB, this is no longer a matrix. This is now delta BC times the identity matrix. So this she can also take out. So now we want to tell Mathematica that if she finds delta functions or numbers, she can take them out and remove them from circle times. Okay? So let's define our numbers, if you want. Let's define our numbers. Okay? Our numbers, let's make a function to check if it's a number. Number of a delta function with two arguments. Or of a numeric number. Or of something which is numeric. This is how we put. Is equal to true. And, as we said, otherwise, non q, otherwise, it's equal to false. Okay? Let's see how this works. F, numeric Q, we create the function which gives, for example, when I apply to AB, it gives true. This function will tell me that delta AB is a number. If I apply to 2, it also tells me that it's true. Okay? And if I apply to something else, for example, to a gamma C, she will give me that it's false. Okay? This maybe it's simpler if I would split in two lines. This is the same as saying that numeric of delta of something something is equal to true, numeric of this is equal to true. I could split this line into two lines, but this is the same as saying that numeric Q with this type of arguments or this type of arguments is equal to true. Yes?
How do you make that bar right there?
This one? Just underscore.
No, the one before,
so. Ah, this one. In my keyboard, it's on top of enter, but.
Yeah, I see that, but mine doesn't look like that. It's a lot smaller.
Same thing.
But
yeah,
it's.
But
it's
when you go to that next line, it'll change.
Yeah,
automatically. It's a bit weird.
But it works, right?
Yeah.
You run this output and it gives this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. So now that we define this numeric function, we can continue defining our properties for circle times. So circle times, here come more properties of circle times. We can now teach that if you have, for example, A2 circle times A3, okay, this is the same as A2 times A3 if A2 is a number or is two slashes, num Q A3 is a number. So if either A3 or A2 are a number, then A2 with A3 is just the usual product. Right? So if I have two circle times gamma B, this is just twice gamma B. And if I have gamma B times 2, this is just twice gamma B again. Okay? This is what will happen in the last step, when we just have only two elements, and if one of them is a number, I should eliminate completely the circle times. But I could have something a bit more complicated where I have a number, A1 times A2, and A2 might not be a number. Okay? And A1 is the only one who is a number. If A1 is a number, then this should be A1, right, times A2 circle times A3. Right? So if there is an A1 which is a number, it should be removed of the product. Is this clear? And, of course, we should do the same from the other side. So we have A2, we have A3 circle times A1 times A2. It's A1 times A3 times A2 if 1 is a number. Number in our sense, delta functions and numbers count as numbers. Okay?
Could you explain numq again?
NumQ is a function which we created, which gives true for what we would call numbers. Right? So what this does is, if A3 is, if this guy here is true, then do this replacement here. But when does this give true? When A1 is either a number or a delta function. Right? So this tells you that delta functions are numbers, you should remove out of it, they are not mixed. Right? So num Q is a function which gives true in the first two of this blue box and gives false in the second one. Now let's try again our example. Example slash dot. Now we can apply both rules. rule 1 and rule 2. Now a bit better, actually I think it's almost perfect. Now it did apply the rule, and the 2 is now outside, the delta is outside, the minus sign is outside. Okay? Any questions here? Did everyone get this output for applying rule 1 and rule 2 to the example? No? No?
Some error message. Elements of, I think it's a definition of the rule, are a mixture of lists and non-lists.
Yes, it's probably because at some point, be careful, at some point I had a bracket here and then I removed. In rule 1, we should put no bracket.
Okay,
so at some point, the first time I was typing, I had these two brackets, at the beginning, at the end, but I don't want the bracket. Because I want that when I create a bracket with rule 1 and rule 2, it's just a vector with two elements, not an nested vector.
Okay, now it works.
So this is how it looks. But would you be completely happy with this? No, because she could still use this rule, delta C, delta C. Here. But that's not her fault, we only told her to use the replacement rule once. So now, we could try, use it again. Copy-paste and use it again. And now it's a bit simpler. And now it's completely ordered. All the gamma matrices are ordered, and this is our simplified expression. Now, this is annoying to tell replace once, replace twice. Right? There should be a way of telling Mathematica replace as long as there are things to replace. And this is what // does. This is exactly this. It's replace while there are things to replace. Okay? Replace many times until you see nothing to replace. Okay? So, is everyone getting this output for example // dot rule 1, rule 2?
No.
Okay. So, who doesn't get it?
This numeric Q is a C, not a Q.
See, now it becomes black.
She's also having a problem with numeric Q.
Is it maybe the same?
No. She was getting correcting. I have problems. She was right there.
Non-Q2, false. What is the symbol here?
A semicolon.
Is it?
Yes. It just shows up differently.
But why aren't you having? What is wrong? Ah, this gave something else. Ah, but this is because. Can I see the loops? I think it's the loop. A is delta and A D. They are not out of P. Up to now, it was giving the good.
Yeah.
Can I see them?
Yeah.
Can you show me this rule 1, rule 2? Can you run it separately? Just this. Vector with rule 1 or 2. No, just a vector. Just this vector to see how it
No one works?
Yeah, that's for me.
Mine works.
Okay. But I think rule one, you have a bracket here. And rule one, I don't want this bracket here. Because otherwise it's not a vector with two rules. There is a nested rule.
Mine keeps running. Mm-hmm. But there must be something wrong with my code. It's just me guys.
Try to see the teamwork. Dot or control dot? Two points. Should just do one.
Well, let me do one replacement here also so that we can come. One replacement. So after one replacement, this is what you should get.
But that's all right. I mean, it's probably just a typo that happens.
It's okay?
Yes.
It's okay? One is a number, one gets out of it. You have product of the other two.
Can be.
The bracket's making it work.
Because then it's a list
or
the
north place.
I wonder how
they
call
it. That's applying a second time. So what rule are you applying when you apply a second time? For example, gamma C.
Are you getting something else?
I'm getting the right result, but I'm not sure. You have to define one of those.
Which ones are they? The ones where you're doing by delta function, right? It's the one where the delta function appears. The Kronecker delta. See the rules where the Kronecker delta appears. So this is probably in the rules.
I'm curious.
So rule one. AA goes to delta function. AB goes to delta 1 minus that.
This one is still with me.
So the delta function is here.
We made fun, right? We were getting wrecked. To get a fucking seal.
Oh, I see. Just like a tie.
Yeah. I don't know what. I can change it.
Okay, let's make a break, and I will put my notebook, which works, in the intranet, and you can just download it, and we continue from this. Okay, if yours is not working.